My name is Marv. I'm an alcoholic. So today we're going to be on step four. And as I said, there's 8 columns for resentments, 2 columns for fears, and 8 columns for sex. But it's not even about sex. It's questions about ourselves.
How many for sex?
8. And what we find is we find patterns of behavior that teach us more about ourselves. Because, you know, when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, man, I was, you know, I had a lot of questions on life. You know, and when I got here, you know, I learned so much, you know, about how to do life. You know, I never had a pause button. So, you know, this was a huge help for me. It says, so if you want to know when we move from step 3 to step 4, the first word is next, which is immediately following. We launched on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning, which many of us had never attempted. Though our decision was a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and to be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. Our liquor was but a symptom, so we had to get down to the causes and conditions. Therefore, we started upon a personal inventory. This was step 4. A business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. Taking a commercial inventory is a fact-finding and fact-facing process. It is an effort to discover the truth about the stock and trade. One object is to disclose damaged or unsellable goods, to get rid of them promptly and without regret. If the owner of the business is to be successful, he cannot fool himself about values. We did exactly the same thing with our lives. We took stock honestly. First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup, which caused our failure. Being convinced that self, manifested in various ways, was what had defeated us, we considered its common manifestations. Resentment, which means to relive old feelings, is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stem all forms of spiritual disease. If we have been not only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick, which the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. We listed people, institutions, or principles with whom we were angry. We asked ourselves why we were angry. In most cases, it was found that our self-esteem, our pocketbooks, our ambitions, or personal relationships, including sex, were hurt or threatened. So we were sore, we were burned up. On our grudge list, we set opposite each name our injuries. Was it our self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, our personal or sex relations which had been interfered with? All right, so in the 12 by 12, you guys don't have to turn to it. You can if you want, but I'm just going to mention a couple things here. In step 4, in the last paragraph on page 54, Bill writes, therefore, thoroughness ought to be the watchword when taking inventory. In this connection, it is wise to write out our questions and answers. It will be an aid to clear thinking and honest appraisal. It will be the first tangible evidence of our complete willingness to move forward. So what does Bill say here? He says we write out our questions and answer. There's a reason for that. I mean, have you ever heard about the little kids in the classroom where the teacher whispers in the first child's ear and they whisper in each other's ears going all the way around the room, and by the time they get to the end, it's not even the same, right? That's the problem with using like a graph that somebody gives you where you check stuff off. I mean, it's really important to write out the questions and answers. And see, the questions that it asks us, it's helping us to find out more about ourselves. And what it's helping us to do, first of all, is when we do step 4 and then we do step 5 and our sponsor helps us, because we see a lot of patterns of behavior, because a lot of the same answers with a lot of the people. So what it's doing is it's looking for those patterns of behavior, and then what we're doing is we're finding out why we had them. I'm skipping ahead just so you can kind of know what you're going to get out of those questions. On page 66 in the 12 by 12, about halfway down, it says, "No one wants to be so proud that he is scorned as a braggart, nor so greedy that he's labeled a thief. No one wants to be angry enough to murder, lustful enough to rape, gluttonous enough to ruin his health. No one wants to be agonized by the chronic pain of envy or to be paralyzed by sloth. So pride, greed, anger, lust, gluttony, envy, and sloth." And those are thoughts. Those aren't actions. They're just our thoughts. And my sponsor said that I'm not responsible for my first thought. He said, everybody has them. They're normal. You know, and I was wondering about my thoughts. He goes, nope, everybody has them. He said, but I was responsible for my second thought and my first action. That was a relief, you know, because I never paused. You know, when somebody crossed that line that I felt they crossed, you know, I would just react to it. You know, and I've caused more problems in my life with those same patterns of behavior. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm sick of learning the same, you know, the same lessons. So if we go to step 7, which is going to be on page 76, about halfway down, those thoughts that we have, this is why we act on them. The chief activator of our defects, or our defects of character, are our thoughts. Our shortcomings are our actions. Defects of characters are 6, shortcomings is step 7. It says the chief activator of our defects has been self-centered fear. Primarily fear that we would lose something we already possessed or would fail to get something we demanded. Living upon a basis of unsatisfied demands, we are in a state of continual disturbance and frustration. Therefore, no peace was to be had unless we could find a means of reducing these demands. The difference between a demand and a simple request is plain to anyone. So, you know, my sponsor said it's, you know, it's just as simple as not having to be in charge anymore. It's just saying okay. And that's always been hard for me, you know. It's always been hard to, you know, to accept things when I thought I was going to lose something that I have, or I wasn't going to get something that I thought I should have. And it caused me a lot of problems. And, you know, when I did step four helped me understand what those defects or characters were that I had problems with. So, at the top of your notebook, what we're going to do is we're going to write down what the answers are going to be for the third column, which is affects my. So we're going to write at the very top of the page, and then you have the blue line, right, at the top of the lines. Well, at the very top of the page, you're going to want to write this. But then the blue line that's right above all the other blue lines, you're going to leave that for 3 columns, okay? And at the very top, you're going to write just like it is in our book. It says, was it our self-esteem? Our security? Our ambitions? Our personal or sex relations? Which had been interfered with. And if you have one of our books, you can certainly highlight, mark it up, take it home, you know, and keep it. You know, this meeting is called Doing the Work. It's all about helping people to recover through the steps. So we give big books and 12 by 12s away, and when they run out, we ask people to help us buy more. So it's really simple. So we write that at the top of our page, and then I can stay after to help anybody that needs help. And then it says, we were usually as definite as this example. So what we're going to do is from the bottom of what we wrote at the top, we're going to write 3 equal lines. No, it's going to be at the top. See, look. you're going to have three columns right here.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
At the very top is where you're going to write that.
Okay.
Okay. And this is where we're going to have the three columns. And then we're going to have three columns and we're going to write from the bottom of what's on top all the way to the bottom of the page. The reason we do the lines is because it helps us separate the questions and the answers. Okay. Okay. So there's three columns at the top of the page. The first one is I'm resentful at. And then in the middle of the page, you're going to write the second question, which is the cause. And then the third question, which is affects my. Now, when I'm talking about these different, I'm going to be talking about this. You'll have time to do some of that if you're not done already. It's fine. And then all you do, there you go. So, you know, with resentments, you know, we're writing our four step. We're writing the cause of our resentments. And we're writing it down, not so our sponsors understand it or that so we can explain it. We're writing it down for ourselves only. And all we're doing is we're writing it down. That's it. We're not writing down what happened before, what happened after, why it happened. We're not doing any of that. I heard somebody say they had a 100-page fourth step. They wrote down everything that anybody ever did to them at length. I would probably want to kill myself after that, right? That's not what this is for. This exercise is to discover and discard, right, the things that we don't need anymore. It's to help us understand more about ourselves so that we can become better people. So Bill does a really good job with this. He writes, I'm resentful at Mr. Brown. And what you can write down is on the page before that, it said, resentments. Where did it say that? People, institutions, or principles with whom we are angry. So it can be any of those things. So he does a really good job with just listing their resentments. He says, Mr. Brown, his attention to my wife told my wife of my mistress. Brown may get my job at the office. Mrs. Jones, she's a nut. She snubbed me. She committed her husband for drinking. He's my friend. She's a gossip. My employer, unreasonable, unjust, overbearing, threatens to fire me for drinking and padding my expense account. My wife misunderstands and nags, likes Brown, wants house put in her name. Did he just explain any of those, you know, any of those? No, he didn't, right? He just wrote them down. Now, he doesn't just write down one. He writes down all of them for each person, okay? But he doesn't need a lot of room to do that. Now, the most words that he uses for any one person is 19. That's all you get. We're not writing a book. And my sponsor asked me when I first got here, if I was going to put one word to my life before AA, it would have been hopeless. If I would have put one word to my life today, it would be freedom. So I just described my whole life in two words. Okay? You get 19 to describe the resentments. Now,
so he's doing four or five, but you can get...
Writing the... It says the cause of the resentments, you know, so... You know, if there's more than one resentment for one person, you write it down. But you're just writing down what it is. You're not going into detail, okay? Because we don't want to start getting in touch with it, and you know, it just makes a mess. You know, makes it hard to do. So, I'm resentful at Mr. Brown. His attention to my wife told my wife of my mistress. Brown may get my job at the office. It affects my, and the things at the top are what we answer from, sex relations, self-esteem, sex relations, self-esteem, fear, security, self-esteem, fear, personal relationships, self-esteem, fear. So for each cause, for each resentment, he wrote down what it affected. Okay? Now when we get down to the bottom of the page, it says, we went back through our lives, nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. When we were finished, we considered it carefully. The first thing apparent was that the world and its people were often quite wrong. To conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. The usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us and we stayed sore.
Yeah. I could just back up one page.
On sure. Okay.
And I used this as a guide when I did my fourth step, and I didn't quite do 100 pages, but when I got with my sponsor, I kind of went off this template. But this template, Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones, my employer, my, you know, this is all kind of current. And I did not include myself at this point.
Yeah, that's...
I did not include my early life. This is all current, but, you know, I had resentment toward my parents, my siblings, you know, growing up, which was is a huge part of my character that I carry around most of my resentments from
yeah.
my childhood. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in.
Yeah.
I didn't do that in my first go-around.
So we're going to be going through that. So I'm going to go over everything, and then we're going to do the questions and answers and input, okay? So it says, we went back through our lives, nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. When we were finished, we considered it carefully. The first thing apparent was that the world and its people were often quite wrong. To conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. The usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us and we stayed sore. Sometimes it was remorse and then we were sore ourselves. But the more we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters got. As in war, the victor only seemed to win. Our moments of triumph were short-lived. It is plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. To the precise extent that we permit these, do we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile. But with the alcoholic whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, this business of resentment is infinitely grave. We found that it is fatal. For when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit. The insanity of alcohol returns and we drink again. And with us, to drink is to die. If we are to live, we had to be free of anger. The grouch and the brainstorm are not for us. They may be the dubious luxury of normal men, but for alcoholics, these things are poison. We turned back to the list, for it held the key to our future. We were prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. We began to see that the world and its people really dominated us. In that state, the wrongdoing of others, fancied or real, had the power to actually kill. How could we escape? We saw that these resentments must be mastered, but how? We could not wish them away any more than alcohol. This was our course. We realized that the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. Though we did not like their symptoms and the way they disturbed us, they, like us, were sick too. We asked God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When a person offended us, we said to ourselves, this is the four-step prayer, this is a sick man, how can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done. We avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy our chances of being helpful. We cannot be helpful to all people, but at least God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one. So when I do the four step, I tell this story about this guy that gets on the bus with his four little boys, and he's looking down at the floor and he's not really paying attention, and his little boys are running around being little boys, and the guy across the aisle is getting more irritated by the minute because he's not paying attention to his children. And one of the little boys runs by and grabs a guy's paper in this guy's just head, and he goes, excuse me, don't you realize what your children are doing? And he looks up all startled and says, man, I'm really sorry, we just left the hospital, their mother just died. Now, do you think a little different about that man on the bus? I do. And that's what I have to remember about other people. You know, and you know, I think that way 100% of the time with somebody that I'm sponsoring, no matter how angry they are, no matter what, because see, I remember what it was like. I mean, I look out that door right now and I can see my whole life, and I know what it's like for the newcomer that comes in here that's so full of shame and fear and remorse and resentment and is hopeless. You know, he comes here and he's looking for a way out. It takes a lot of courage to walk through these doors. So I don't get mad at newcomers, you know, no matter how they act. but I have out there in the world. And I'm learning how not to go out there in the world and act like that. Because I'm learning how to do life because of these steps. And step four is a big one as far as helping me to change. It says, referring to our list again, putting out of our mind the wrong others had done, we resolutely looked for our own mistakes. Okay? So the first three questions, where I'm resentful at the cause and it affects mine. And what we're doing is we're just like Craig said, we're going all the way back to the beginning of the earliest memory that we ever had. A lot of people, I mean, I had a sponsor that had like five people on this list. Yeah, I forgive people easy. But, you know, that's not the exercise. The exercise is, you know, if these people hurt you and it's just like a piece of garbage and you throw that garbage in the garbage can, it's still there. You can say that it doesn't bother you anymore, but it's still there. So if anybody ever hurts your feelings, hurt you physically, you know, upset you, whatever, write it down. There's a reason for it, okay? And you want to go from the earliest memories that you have. And if you have any problems with that, you can certainly come back and see me and we can talk about it. I help people get through the steps. Doesn't matter if I'm their sponsor or not. I do everything here at the club, right? And my job is to help people to get rid of the garbage. Because see, when I got to AA, I had this garbage can inside of all the things that I've done and all the things that people had done to me. You know, I was walking around with all that pain. And until I did step four and I got it on paper and was able to look at it. And what we do is the first three columns, and then we turn the page to a brand new page. We leave the back of the page blank. The reason we do that is the cause of the resentment, we're going to cut those out. We're going to go in the back and we're going to burn them. And if you have a higher power, great. If you don't, great. But what we're going to do is as it burns and the smoke goes up, all that stuff you've been carrying around your whole life is going to be gone. That doesn't mean sometimes you won't think about it and it won't upset you or it won't, you know, won't hurt you in some way. But you don't have to live there anymore. And we're going to get rid of the past, and you're going to become a brand new person. You get to become whoever you want to be in your life. You know, and I was pretty excited about that because, you know, I mean, I wanted to be, you know, when I was a kid, I loved everybody. You know, I was just happy. And that's the person that I want to be again, you know, and I'm a lot closer to it now than when I got here. You know, and the reason that I do this work with you is because, see, I did the first 11 steps and I got the promises and my life got better. But in order to keep the promises, I have to continually work with others. And I do this every day. I do this every day because, see, I have problems too. And when I come here and I work with you, I get to get out of myself. And what I get to do is I get to be happy in my life in spite of my circumstances. And when I leave here today, I get to go out there and I get to have a good day. Which is a lot better than if I just stayed in bed this morning and then just got up and started my day. Alright, so we had the first three columns. And then what we do is we turn the page to a brand new fresh page. And the first three questions are, where had we been selfish? Where had we been dishonest? And where had we been self-seeking? You can highlight them in a book that you have in front of you. If you have a big book already, it's okay. This is a working big book. It's your steps. So we have three columns. We write at the top of the page above the blue line, and then we have three lines all the way down to the bottom of the page. Where had we been selfish? Where had we been dishonest? And where had we been self-seeking? Please write out the entire question. It's really important. The difference between selfish and self-seeking. Selfish is if I have a bag of dope and I have friends coming over and I don't want to share it. And I have friends coming over and they have a bag of dope and I want them to share theirs with me. That's the difference between those two, between selfish and self-seeking. Selfish is I want to keep it for myself. Self-seeking is I want what other people have. So where have we been selfish, where have we been dishonest, and where have we been self-seeking? And then what we're going to do is we're going to turn the page to a brand new page. And the first question on the brand new page is going to be, where had we been frightened in relationship to this resentment. Now, when I was a little kid, I came from a very violent, alcoholic, abusive home. And there were a lot of things that happened when I was a child that weren't my fault. But if I had a resentment toward a person, and this is where I've been frightened, it would have been that I was afraid to tell anyone. And then it says, though a situation had not been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other person involved entirely. And the second column, because there's only two columns on this page, is where were we to blame? So this page is aligned down the middle. Where had we been frightened, and where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listed them. We placed them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly and were willing to set these matters straight. So, in English, we write across the page. We don't write down. And what we do is I had somebody say that they first wrote a list of all the resentments. And then they started the columns. Some people start, I started with the columns in my earliest memory, okay? Or you can go from your most recent memory and go backwards. But what you're going to do is you're going to write a name, you're going to answer all the questions. And when you write a name, obviously it's one line, you're going to write the cause of the resentment, you have 19 words, so it could be, you know, three or four lines, and then you have affects my. So wherever the bottom is from all eight questions, you're going to skip a line, and then you're going to start a brand new fresh line where you're going to put the next name. Okay? So you're going to write a name, you're going to answer all the questions, and then you're going to write a name and you're going to answer all the questions. And what we're going to do is we're going to start to see a pattern of behavior within ourselves. And what was unbelievable to me is when I was doing step four and I wrote the name and I answered all those questions, I started to realize that a lot of these resentments that I've been carrying around for other people, the answer, where was I to blame? I found out that most of my problems were my fault. And what was amazing is that the resentment was gone. You know, because, I mean, how could I have the resentment if I was the reason that caused it, right? So by doing this, what I got to do is I got to empty a lot of that garbage can just by answering these questions.
Can you say answer all the questions?
That's right. So we're going to write a name, we're going to answer all the questions, write a name, answer all the questions.
Yeah, but also...
Yeah, so if you have names on the first page, you can rip the first page out to go to the second page and the third page and the fourth page, right? Yeah, so you can take the names out, you know, one page at a time after you answer those questions to go through the rest of them. Okay? Does that make sense?
So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
So you've got 8 questions, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't have to tear the page out for the names because I was able to remember what name I was on, so it was pretty easy. Sure. But, you know, whatever you need to do to be able to answer all the questions, that's the most important thing. Okay? So, all right, so we got those. So, we go next to, notice that the word fear is bracketed alongside difficulties with Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones, the employer, and his wife. The short word somehow touches about every aspect of our lives. It was an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. It set in motion the circumstances which brought us misfortune. We felt we didn't deserve it, but did we not ourselves set the ball rolling? Sometimes we think fear ought to be classified with stealing. It seems to cause more trouble. So, that was about the fears that we had when it had, in relationship to the resentments. Now the fears that we're going to be dealing with are resentment, or fears that don't have any connection to the resentments. Okay? They're just going to be fears that we have. So it says, we reviewed our fears thoroughly, we put them on paper, even though we had no resentment in connection with them. So, first column, we list our fears. Second column, we asked ourselves why we had them. So, just draw two lines. First line, we listed our fears. And then the second column, we asked ourselves why we had them. And I'm going to read a little bit here. Was it because self-reliance failed us? Self-reliance was good in as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us once had great self-confidence, but it didn't fully solve the fear problem or any other. When it made us cocky, it was worse. Perhaps there is a better way. We think so. We are now on a different basis, the basis of trusting and relying upon God. We trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. We are in the world to play the role He assigns, just to the extent that we do as we think He would have us and humbly rely on Him. Does He enable to match calamity with serenity? Craig, would you get me a bottle of water, please? You get a second. I'd really appreciate it.
Sure.
My mouth's pretty dry.
Yeah, sure.
No, that's okay. All right, so, you know, the fears that we write down are everything. Anything that we're afraid of. It doesn't matter if it's the dark, if it's strangers, if it's come on the sidewalk. You know, we want to write it down. It's really important. Now, it says, we never apologize to anyone for depending on our Creator. We can laugh at those who think spirituality is the way of weakness. Paradoxically, is the way of strength. The verdict of ages is that faith means courage. All men of faith have courage. They trust their God. We never apologize for God. Instead, we let Him demonstrate through us what He can do. We ask Him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what He would have us be. At once we commence to outgrow fear. So, you know, when we're, step one, you know, when you're powerless over alcohol, your life has become unmanageable. I had no problem with that one when I got here because I was so broken. And then step two says, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And, you know, when I got to my first meeting, December 16th, 1988, a guy brought me here. He didn't even tell me it was AA. He brought me to the meeting because it was a very strong meeting with a message of hope in there. And that very first day, I found hope. I found hope because I found a way out. And that way out was Alcoholics Anonymous. And that higher power for me was the group when I got here. Because, see, my whole life, you know, when I was a little kid and all those bad things happened, you know, I prayed that God would save us. And He never did one time. Ever. So, it's not that I didn't believe in God, I just didn't believe that He was there for me. So, by the time I got here, you know, I was really broken and, you know, they said that I didn't have to worry about that. I just had to worry about something that could help me get sober that wasn't me. And all I did had to do was just follow instructions. And that's what I did. And I've been sober ever since. And then when we get to step three, you know, it's just being about willing to believe that something that's not me can help me with the rest of my problems. You see, I'm not turning anything over. All I'm doing is becoming willing to. It's just like three frogs that are on a log and one decides to jump off. How many are on the log? Still free. He didn't jump off yet. He just made a decision to, right? It's just like if I make a decision to get a job on Monday. I haven't gotten the job yet, but I've made the decision. And that's the huge part. That's the part that we need in order to move on to step four. And then when we do step four, you know, and we get it farther into the steps, what happens is our life gets better and we start to have some peace. And then we start to think that maybe there is something out there that can help me with the rest of my problems. But the nice thing is we don't have to do that right away. And a lot of people that get here have a real problem with that because they're so broken, and that's okay. So now what we've done is we've talked about our fears, okay? And now we're going to be talking about sex, but it's not even really about sex. It's really about people. And it's about questions that we're going to be answering to see patterns of behavior within ourselves, just like we did with the, resentments. Now about sex, many of us needed an overhauling there, but above all, we tried to be sensible on this question. It's so easy to get way off track. Here we find human options running to extremes, absurd extremes, perhaps. One set of voices cries that sex is a lust of the lower nature, a base necessity of procreation. Then we have the voices who cry for sex and more sex, who bewail the institution of marriage, who think that most of the troubles of the race are traceable to sex causes. They think we do not have enough of it or that it isn't the right kind. They see its significance everywhere. One school would allow man no flavor for his fare, and the other would have him all on a straight pepper diet. We want to stay out of this controversy. We do not want to be the arbiter of anyone's sex conduct. We all have sex problems. We'd hardly be human if we didn't. What can we do about them? We reviewed our conduct over years past. All right, so I'm going to read this before we write anything down, just to go over exactly what the questions are going to be. I'm going to change one of them to the beginning so it matches resentments to make it easier to answer, because you're going to have a particular person for that. So the questions are, where had we been selfish, where had we been dishonest, and where had we been inconsiderate? Whom had we hurt? So the whom had we hurt we put first, just so that we can have a name first to answer the rest of the questions. This next question is pretty long, but the answer is in the question. It says, did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? So we can write down one or none or all three. And then, where were we at fault? And then the next question, what should we have done instead? We got this all down on paper and looked at it. In this way, we tried to shape a sane and sane ideal for our future sex life. We subjected each relationship to this test. Eighth and final question, was it selfish or not? So, three columns, a brand new page. First column is, whom had we hurt? Next question is, where had we been selfish? And then the third question is, where had we been dishonest? And then we're going to turn the page to a brand new page, brand new fresh page. And we're going to write, where had we been inconsiderate?
This is three columns.
It is. The next question's a little long, so you can start a little higher on the page, in between the, you know, column two. Did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? Please write down the whole question. It's really important for your answers. So did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? And then the third question, where were we at fault? And then we turn to a brand new fresh page when we're done with that. And that's two columns on the last page. And the first column is, what should we have done instead? And then the last question is, was the relationship selfish or not? And I'm going to read a little bit while you guys are writing.
Was that just a yes or no?
Right, yes or no. And every relationship I've ever had was selfish, by the way. We ask God to mold our ideals and help us to live up to them. We remembered always that our sex powers were God-given and therefore good, neither to be used lightly or selfishly, nor to be despised and loathed. Whatever our deal turns out to be, we must be willing to grow toward it. We must be willing to make amends where we had done harm, provided that we do not bring about still more harm in doing so. In other words, we treat sex as we would any other problem. In meditation, we ask God what we should do about each specific matter. The right answer will come if we want it. God alone can judge our sex situation. Counsel with persons is often desirable, but we let God be the final judge. We realize that some people are as fanatical about sex as others are loose. We avoid hysterical thinking or advice. Suppose we fall short of the chosen ideal and stumble. Does this mean we're going to get drunk? Some people tell us so. But this is only a half-truth. It depends on us and our motives. If we are sorry for what we have done and have the honest desire to let God take us to better things, we believe we will be forgiven and we will have learned our lesson. If we are not sorry and our conduct continues to harm others, we are quite sure to drink. We are not theorizing these facts. These are facts out of our experience. To sum up about sex, we pray earnestly for the right ideal, for guidance in each questionable situation, for sanity, and for the strength to do the right thing. And then this last part is one of my favorite parts of the book, and you can put any word to it. If sex or if blank is very troublesome, we throw ourselves the harder into helping others. We think of their needs and work for them. This takes us out of ourselves. It quiets the imperious urge when to yield would mean heartache. If we have been thorough about our personal inventory, we have written down a lot. We have listed and analyzed our resentments. We have begun to comprehend their futility and their fatality. We have commenced to see that the terrible destructiveness. We have begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill toward all men, even our enemies, for we look on them as sick people. We have listed the people we have hurt by our conduct and are willing to set the matter straight, straighten out the past if we can. That's where were we to blame, right? When we do this list, we start to see a lot of the resentments we had were our fault to begin with, so we hurt other people. So it helped us with our eighth step. In this book, you read again and again that faith did for us what we could not do for ourselves. We hope you are convinced now that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you off from Him. If you have already made a decision and an inventory of your grosser handicaps, you have made a beginning. That being so, you have swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about yourself. And that, my friends, is step four.
Thanks,
Marv. And, you know, the thing that you mentioned earlier about putting ourselves on that list, you know, there's a lot of religions out there. They all use the same Bible. It's all their difference of interpretation. But my sponsor said, you don't put your name on that list. He says, this program, we're selfish and self-centered to begin with. Everything's about us, right? So to put us on this list, you know, we're better off if we don't put ourselves on this list. So, because it doesn't say anywhere that I should be putting myself on this list. But if you're, you know, I believe that God blesses sponsorship. So if your sponsor says to do it, you know, my sponsor, you know, what he does is he asks my sponsees what step they're on. And they ask them how long they've been on it. And if he gets the wrong answer, he says, run away and get a different sponsor. He said, this is life or death. Because if you die, your sponsor is going to be sad for about 2 minutes. That's it. And then, you know, you're going to be gone forever.
But my sponsor did not have me put myself. But in reflection, I found that I was at fault for a lot of these things I went through.
Yeah, that's where we get, where were we to blame? That's where we find them.
So I was putting my name down. Shit, I did all this. You know, I was, you know, and so I had resentments toward myself. But I understand how. Why it's not included.
Yeah, you know, that makes sense. And you know, the thing is I saw that I was to blame. But you know, because I talked to you guys earlier about our defects of character, which are those seven deadly sins, those thoughts, right? And then the shortcomings, which are our actions on those thoughts, were all part of our foreshadow. And you know, that's why it's important that we're thorough and we go back to the very beginning. And, you know, the big book says more will be revealed. So if you didn't get it all the first time, that's okay. Because we're going to be doing more four steps. The big book says, you know, any business that doesn't take a regular inventory usually goes broke. And you hear people sometimes say, yeah, I did my inventory, you know, 25 years ago. But the problem is there's going to be more that's going to be revealed. I'm a much better person today than I used to be. You know, I don't want to lie. You know, I asked my sponsor what God's will was once, and he said, you know, it's as simple as, you know, is doing the right thing even when nobody's watching. And when I have a problem, I need to ask what's wrong with me. So, anybody have any questions on what we've gone through today?
Something you just said. So, as you go back and redo your inventory.
Not necessarily redo it, but put more on it than I missed before.
And that's what I was getting at. So, if you've gone through a thorough four-step and you're redoing it or you're adding people to it, you're going to the ones that have been released, you don't put on there again, right?
Yeah, no, you don't need to do that again.
Right.
You know, because resentments, we all get our feelings hurt, right?
Yeah.
So the thing is when we get our feelings hurt, what do we do with it? You know, that's the question. You know, do we let it go because we think about the man on the bus story, right? Or do we cop a resentment and now every time we see that guy, it bothers us? But the thing is, we're eating poison expecting the other person to die, right? They don't even know we're upset at them still, right? And we're walking around with that. I've done that. But this meeting started because I got irritated with the 7 o'clock meeting. So after the 7 o'clock meeting, I called the new people over one at a time, and we would read out of the big book. We started with the doctor's opinion and went forward. And then next thing you know, we had 25 people in there, and the club said, you guys have to have a room. You know, you can't just have an unsanctioned meeting because, you know, you need to pay the dues. They didn't care if you paid. If you didn't have any money, that was okay, but they wanted you to do that. So that's how this meeting started. And this meeting has never been a large meeting, and big book studies usually aren't. Because, see, a lot of times we're going through the same stuff over and over. But if you're going through it for yourself, the first 11 steps, that's understandable. But when you start working with others, like Craig is starting to work with others now, you know, he's sitting here listening intently on step 4 because he's going to be taking people through that step. And see, I don't have to have all the answers. I just have to know where they're at. You know, and first time I went, this is not my first big book, by the way. So, you know, I'd go through their big book the first time with one highlighter, and then I'd use a different highlighter the second time. And then I started underlining, and then I started taking each paragraph, and I'd write down some key words from a sentence to make it easier to find things. And that's how I've learned this big book. And I've probably taught people the 4-step probably, I don't know how many times, but a lot.
After I finished my 4-step, what I thought was a thorough 4-step, I kept my notepad in the car and I jotted things down and I get to work and I fill it out. But it's gotten to the point now when I remember stuff or something comes up that could be a resentment, it becomes automatic. And I'm aware of it, and I can't answer it in my head. So it's just one of those repetition things. That, you know, so I don't start building additional resentments, and so I'm just, it makes me more aware of it, and it's kind of fun.
Yeah, so let's just go around the room now and mention, you know, step 4, and if you have any questions.
No, that's okay.
You good?
Yeah.
Just an alcoholic.
I guess. No questions.
Sure.
Did it make sense?
Yeah.
I probably do.
How about you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, one of the things that I do to do step 4 is I do it in between meetings here at the club. We're so blessed to have a club. You know, and I work with people whether they have sponsors or not. You know, my first sponsor, all they did was they took me through the first 3 columns because he didn't know any different, right? Because nobody taught him, you know, exactly what the book says. And I've had some really good teachers along the way, you know, that taught me exactly what the book says. So, you know, even if you have a sponsor, it's okay. You know, I can, you know, I'm happy to go over it with you if you, you know. A lot of people go through the 5th step with me, which is okay. I don't care what sect you are, you know. I mean, I'm an ordained minister. It's just one of the things I've done in 52 years, you know. So they couldn't drag it out of me. But I also smoked a lot of dope over the years, so I don't remember any of them anyway, you know. So, yeah, this step will change your life. Has anybody ever done the four step before? Okay. Were you thorough and honest before?
No. Well, no, I held on to some stuff, and then I ended up back going back out.
Hmm. Did you hold on to anything?
I did, yeah.
Holly?
I was thorough and honest and stuff, and I made it through that part, but then as life goes on, your fourth step is different down the road. Like, what I'm resentful at now, and what I let go over a year ago, it's completely different.
That's a pretty good observation, and that's right. You know, when we, after we do step five, four, then we share it with our sponsor, and then we go to step six, and we get to see all those defects of character, those seven deadly sins that we wrote down as we did the questions. And then we get to step seven, which are our actions that we took on those thoughts, right? And then when we get to step eight, now we have this list that we get to build. And a lot of that list is going to be from step four. So the only thing we're getting rid of is the cause. And then after we have the list, step nine is a lifetime process, but it's really important, just like step four, to go over it with somebody, right? Because you're going to have different categories. But as you're doing ninth step is a lifetime process. So as you're going through the ninth step, you're going to be doing the tenth step. And the tenth step is, when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. You know, that's what we do. Because if we don't do that, we build a new, you know, four step and a new ninth step because we're hurting other people. You know, and then 11, you know, we sought through meditation and prayer to prove our conscious contact with God, which it talks about. And then step 12, which is the biggest chapter in the big book, is about working with others. And, you know, so when you're doing step 9, you get 10, 11, and 12 done. And then you're ready to sponsor others. And that's where you stand up at meetings. And you don't have to be afraid about taking somebody through the big book. Because all you're doing is starting at the doctor's opinion and sharing your experience of what I was like before I got to AA, what happened from working the steps, and what I'm like now, right? So you're just going through all the steps with them, and you don't have to worry about, whether you do it right. Also, you can bring people to this meeting. We have an 8:15 meeting every day but Saturday. But if anybody wants to come in on Saturday, I'm happy to meet people, okay? So, you know, it's important to get through these steps. And if you guys have any questions or any problems or you need anything, you guys can let me know.
I do have one more question.
Okay.
Like the other columns over here, where was I selfish? Where was I dishonest? And where was I frightened?
Do you guys remember the difference between selfish and self-seeking?
You have pot and you don't have a bag of wheat.
Yeah, but my question is, when I'm writing that out, it's also 5-6 words, really.
Yeah, you get 19 words. It's all you get for any column. Because we're not reliving it, we're just writing it down for ourselves. Sometimes you'll have a sponsor that wants you to go into detail on every one of them. My thought on that is you get a different sponsor, because that's not what this is for. This is not for you to relive it and go through it with your sponsor, because it's not gonna hurt them any, but it certainly can hurt you. Okay.
What I've learned, Mark, outside of this book, that I can totally relate to this book when it comes to resentments. That resentments are people's biggest waste of time, and why would anybody want to dwell on something unless they want it to become their reality?
All right, let's wrap it up with the Lord's Prayer. You know, when I was a little kid, I would say, feelings, why wouldn't they have those? That's stupid. I didn't know what feelings were, you know? Do now. All right, who's Father?
Our Father,
who art in heaven, be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Keep it on the back. It works if you work it. Well, all right.